the processional hymn number 56, Lord, as I wake, I turn to you. Welcome, everybody, to this service on the fifth Sunday after Trinity. We follow the order of morning prayer and the litany, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. On page 120, the traditional form of the canticle, Jubilate. On page 747, the psalm appointed for this morning is number 130, which we shall read by alternate division of verses. Psalm 130 on page 747. Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication.
If you, Lord, were to mark what is done amiss,
O Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you,
so that you shall be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him.
And his word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than the night watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. With him is plenteous redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, and verses 17 to 27. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained there 2 days in Ziklag.
David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, the daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields, for there the shield of the mighty was defined, the shield of Saul, anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." On page 126, the traditional form of the canticle Te Deum, parts 1 and 2.
Thank you.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and, when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. He had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. On page 122, the traditional form of the canticle Benedictus.
Thank you.
On page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the king. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, make clean our hearts within us. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we join in the first and fourth collect at morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us, that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn 627. What a friend we have in Jesus. Tune. Okay. All right.
and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what need we often forfeit? Oh, what needless pain we bear? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak of temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in
Page 175, we pray in the words of the Litany. Let us pray. God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit, Giver of life. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy on us. Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy, and conceit, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness. From sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world and the snares of the devil. From fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared. From all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism. In times of sorrow and in times of joy, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment. Save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation. By your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom. By your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial. By your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church. Fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will.
Give us
Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word. Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Bring all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth. Guard and bless our rulers, especially Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, and the government, and grant that all may trust in you and seek your honor and glory. Bless our country and give grace, wisdom, and understanding to all in authority and to those seeking election to Parliament during the coming week. Hear us, good Lord. Bless the European nations and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom. Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth. Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety. Give to all nations unity, peace, and concord. Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall and drive out all evil. Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous, and keep in safety all who travel. Keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life, and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress. Heal the sick, care for the old and lonely, and comfort the bereaved. Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love. Show your pity on victims of strife, on the homeless and the hungry, on prisoners, and on all who live in fear. Forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and turn their hearts. Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art. Bless and keep all your people. Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness. Savior of the world, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word, and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world. Hymn 592, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's New Testament reading, St. Mark chapter 5, verse 28. If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. What do we make of such a story? What do we make of the tale of this poor woman whose savings had been drained by doctors, who knew they could do nothing, and who would have been told that she was unclean by the religious leaders because of her gynecological condition? Neither the physician nor the priests had anything to offer her except counsels of despair and physical and emotional exclusion. The woman knew that no one offered her hope. She knew that her prospects for the future were bleak. It is hard to imagine how it must feel to be someone who is not just beyond medical intervention, but is also outside the life of a community that laid great stress upon ritual cleanliness. The woman was ill, and spiritually, if not physically, the woman was alone. In her situation, what would you and I have done? Would we have preferred to remain invisible, to accept the word of the doctors and the priests? Or would she have said that this was the only life that she had and that Jesus was the only person who offered her a chance? There is a poem called Days by the English poet Philip Larkin, who asks the question that the woman had to face. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us, time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days? And solving that question, bring the priest and the doctor in their long coats running over the fields. The priest and the doctor are those called upon for answers, but neither offers a solution. What is the woman to do with her days? For those who were the only days she would have, how is the woman to have a hope of happiness if there was no one who can offer her hope? The woman would have asked herself all the questions that Philip Larkin asks, and many more besides. Each morning she would have woken to a new day, and each morning she would have had to suffer the indignity of the previous days. Time and time over, she would have asked about her life and why there seemed no answers. Then the woman hears about Jesus. What has she heard? We are not told, but what she has heard has persuaded her that here is someone with the power to change her life. Here is someone who offers her a chance to live well in the days of her life that remain, a chance to have health and happiness, a chance to be once more part of a community. The stories she has heard about Jesus are so powerful that she realizes that if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. What power there must have been in what she has heard that she is convinced that simply to touch the clothes of Jesus would be enough. Many people would have made such contact with him. Few would have believed that such contact could have the power to change their lives. St. Mark writes, "Felt in her body that she was healed of her disease." This is not a change brought by psychological or emotional processes. This is a profound physical change. The touching of Jesus' clothes is a moment of such physical power that Jesus himself feels the impact. Jesus realizes that there has been a life-changing moment, and he turns and he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" At this moment, the woman has to make a decision. Would she retreat into the crowd and return to her former life, or would she step forward and acknowledge that her life had been restored? Now her physical health would return. Now she would return to the life of her community. Now her days would be happy moments in which to live. The woman has no doubt about the power of Jesus. She has no doubt about the identity of Jesus, and she comes to him in fear and trembling. The woman tells Jesus her story. Perhaps that is much more for her benefit than for his. In the telling of the story, she is accepting the reality of the change that has come into her life. Jesus responds to the woman in three phrases. "Daughter, your faith has made you well," he says. Faith has been an essential element of what has taken place. "Go in peace," he says, and peace for Jesus means a profound sense of well-being in one's life. "Be healed," he says, and it is a healing of all that has marred her life and a healing of every division that has arisen. Reading the story of the woman, can we answer Philip Larkin's question about our own days? If we are not living life to the full now, then when will we do so? If we cannot be happy in these days, then when will we be happy? If we could not find the answer to those questions in Jesus, then it would be nowhere to be found. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due, all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion, from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn 104, "O for a thousand tongues to sing my dear Redeemer's praise."
Let us pray. Unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace this day and always. Items for the food bank may be left here at church next Sunday or the following Sunday. Sunday next, the sixth Sunday after Trinity, parish communion at 10 o'clock. The recessional hymn, 455, Go Forth for God, Go Forth for the World in Peace.